Welcome to the Not New Movie Review. I am Ross Oaks, joined by my co-host Jeremy Wainwright. Today, we take a deep dive into the 1996 hit film Mars Attacks. We also talk about Tim Burton's body of work from the 80s, 90s, and 2000s, and also spoilers for everything. Tell him, Gandalf. Enjoy the show. Welcome to the Not New Movie Review. Okay, so, how was your Thanksgiving?
I'm very thankful for it.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. I watched Planes, Trains, and Automobiles for the first time.
I want to see that so bad.
It's the perfect Thanksgiving movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. John Candy, R.I.P.
I know. Yeah. I watched clips of it on YouTube.
Do you see the one where he's, like, playing the piano in the car and he's got the cigarette and he's like...
No, I didn't see that one.
You guys can't see me. I was doing the air piano.
He was doing an air piano.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
No, I watched the clip where he was like, I think I know you from somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was either that or watch Creed again, but... Yeah, how was your Thanksgiving?
It was good. I had to work.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. Yeah, Thanksgiving's the most boring holiday. Well, no.
No,
Easter
not...
is. Easter
yeah,
is.
Yeah.
Easter. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking bunnies.
Yeah. Yeah. But I did, when I came home, I did attack that turkey.
Ooh.
Much like the Martians attacked Earth.
Yeah.
In
Mars Attacks.
Mars Attacks, what we're going to talk about today.
What year did it come out?
I have it right here. I think it was 1996.
Hey.
The year I was born. The best year of American history.
Well, I mean, I was born in 1993, the year of Jurassic Park, so.
I got Mars Attacks. So.
And Independence Day.
Yes, yeah, that's true.
Which, that's crazy that they came out the same year.
Oh, yeah.
And they're very similar in a lot of ways.
Yeah, they are.
There's a lot of characters that are so similar.
Yes!
Like, the long-haired kid in the camper in the desert.
Yes! I wrote that down.
I did, too.
Okay, so this was Mars Attacks, 1996, directed by Tim Burton.
Back in his heyday.
His
90s were the best time of his life.
Notable talent that was in this movie. We have Jack Nicholson, Paul Winfield, Pierce Brosnan, Sarah Jessica Parker, Glenn Close, Danny DeVito, Michael J. Fox, Natalie Portman, Jack Black.
Luke Haas.
And then Danny Elfman on the score.
Luke Haas. You forgot Luke Haas.
Who did he play?
He's like the long-haired kid who saves grandma.
That's, yeah. Okay. So this movie... right off the bat, just gets into it.
It's bonkers, isn't it?
It starts out.
Yeah, I love it.
It starts out, like, with horses.
It's like the opposite of like Independence Day, where like it just like kicks right in.
It starts out with horses on fire running down a road.
Well, he makes that racist joke to the Filipino guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, "What is it, Filipino barbecue?" And he's
"What
do you mean? I'm not."
No. He said, "What is it?
Like, oh, Filipino Thanksgiving,
New Year's, or something?" Yeah.
He's like, "Oh, what's your time? I'm not cooking."
I was like, "Oh, no, couldn't say that today."
One thing I immediately noticed I thought was cool. I've never seen Ed Wood, the movie that Tim Burton made about Ed Wood.
Mm-hmm.
But it's cool. He made a movie about Ed Wood, and then his next movie was kind of like an Ed Wood movie. Like an old, you know who Ed Wood was, right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of his next movie, because right after Ed Wood, he made this. It's kind of like his own version of like a B-movie science fiction movie.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Hmm. I thought that was cool. Yeah.
The animation in this movie, like, is not that bad.
It's not the Martians aren't good.
No,
in the sausage, but I think that goes along with the point of it feeling like a B movie, because it fits with the vibe of it. Like, if they were trying to take it seriously and the animation looked like that, it would be like,
The animation of the flying saucers like coming down to Earth, like this movie,
it's not bad.
It looks like it could have been made in the 2000s, like the early 2000s.
Yeah,
like it kind of looks like the Jimmy Neutron movie.
I don't know if that's an animated movie though. You don't.
Yeah, but the animation, like,
I did write down
it's
that
like
it feels
CGI-ish.
It feels like a live action cartoon.
Yeah,
in a good way though.
Yeah,
in a good way.
So we have.
Then we move on to Jack Nicholson, is the president
Of the United
of the
States of
United States,
America.
which draws very scary resemble. He resembles Trump
I
in
didn't
this.
think that at all. He actually feels, because he's more like calm and reserved. I felt like the whole, a lot of the politics in this movie, because it came out, I think, when Bill Clinton was president, it feels like it's kind of like satirizing, because like in the 90s, it was like our golden age as a country, and we like, we're all feel good, like nothing can go wrong. And he's kind of playing like this, like cool, laid back president. Like, hey, the country's all good. I'm not worried about Martians. We'll make friends with them. Because then you got the one general who's like, "Goddamn liberals! We gotta nuke the Martians. What are you doing, liberal?"
Yeah, I mean, I thought he was a psychopath. I
I
thought
thought
he,
the other character he played was a psychopath.
I well, we'll get into the other character that he played, but I thought he was a psychopath as a president. I thought I was like, I'm watching Trump on like,
Kinda. I didn't get that, but
so then,
young Natalie Portman is his daughter,
yeah.
and she would grow up to play Jackie Kennedy in a different movie. I kept thinking about that.
Yep.
And her name is Taffy. I wrote that down.
Oh, I didn't catch
Yeah,
that.
her name was
Taffy.
Taffy.
So then we move on to a casino. We're at the casino. They make this joke about nuns being at the casino.
I didn't catch that
That
joke.
was kind of funny.
I didn't catch
And then who do we see? Jack Nicholson again?
Before that, we see a guy who, in my notes, I wrote down Mr. T question mark, and then I wrote no, and then I wrote no, damn it.
Yeah. But Jack Nicholson, why is he playing two characters?
Because he could is, I mean, he was in his heyday still, you know? Tim Burton's
What's
like,
the point of that,
it's
though?
crazy to see him play like super silly characters back then, you know?
I guess. I
Like
don't know.
I mean, well, he had a good relationship with Tim Burton too from Batman.
But I at first I was like at first I was like, oh, they're brothers. And then I soon realized, no, he's just playing two different characters in the same movie, and which no one else has two different roles. Everyone else has
No,
one
yeah,
role,
it's just him,
just
but
him. He's playing two different roles.
he's got his wife, who's very socially conscious. She's also an ex-alcoholic,
Yeah.
and he's a crazy, he wants to build, what's this casino called?
Oh, I don't even know. The
Galaxy.
the UFO one. That's what he wants to build. I don't know. Yeah, Galaxy slot. I don't know.
I wrote again very similar to Independence Day, thinking emoji. I kept writing that down.
And then I also wrote down that it's every kid's dream to get a pizza delivered to their room,
Yeah,
because that's
especially in the
what
White
the
House. That's what Taffy does.
I was like, oh my God, this is amazing.
I had to take down one quote that Jack, I don't remember their names, but the casino Jack Nicholson, with like the Southern accent, he says at one point, "I've been thinking about Martians when there weren't no Martians."
You thought that was a southern accent?
Yeah.
I didn't think it was a
But like
southern
that
accent
line,
at
I was
all.
like, it's like,
I
what does
thought he
that
was using the same voice for
that line,
each
I was like,
character.
what does that even mean?
What was it? Say it again.
I've been thinking about Martians when there weren't no Martians.
Who knows what that means? Then we have Danny DeVito shows up in the casino.
I think, well, yeah, we just see him briefly though. He's just playing crabs or whatever. Or craps, I don't know what it's called, yeah.
But he's playing Frank Reynolds
Oh, pretty
from
much,
Always
yeah.
Sunny. He's like such a
Yeah.
disgusting man.
He's very gross. And we forgot when we Byron, the Mr. T guy. His wife is Pam Grier. And then in the city, you know, he's got his two kids. I don't know if you know who Pam Grier is. Jackie Brown. Just did a dance.
I
But
should have put her in there.
yeah, it's okay.
Okay, so then we move on to the long-haired kid in the desert,
Lucas.
which is
So close to Independence
same
Day.
exact character. Like his family is poor, they live in a trailer.
Jack Black's his brother. Just like in Independence Day. It's a joke, because Jack
Oh,
Black's not in
he's
Independence
not
Day,
in
but they're
it.
very similar movies.
Everything you say on this podcast
Is
is
serious.
dead serious. I want you to know
He
right
works at,
now.
what is the place, a donut shop? Or
Your
something? Donut House. Donut
donut
House. At one point, the lady he works for was eating a donut that looked like a glazed foot. It
house.
literally, it looked like a pastry with like toes, and I was like, what the?
So when he's at his trailer one time, he was drinking this jug of what looked like strawberry milk.
Oh yeah, I saw and it. He grabbed it from a fridge outside the trailer.
Yeah, and I was like, is this like the Star Wars like blue milk, but it's just like pink milk?
Red or pink.
Yeah, I was taken aback by that.
What about his family? The crazy red.
Yeah,
the donuts. It's like, you brought me on some donuts. It's like, yeah, they're baked on Monday. It's like, oh, that's 6 days ago. I'll take a couple.
Still eat them though. Yeah.
And grandma, I love grandma.
I wrote down everyone cheers for her being a good mother. Oh,
Pam Grier when she like finds the kids in the arcade. She's like, those kids are just they're playing the. Yeah. The gun game, and like she brings him on the bus, and everyone's like, "Yeah, yeah."
I thought that was crazy because in today, like, I mean that wouldn't have everyone would just like stick to themselves and be like, "Oh, gee, I don't want to get involved in this." They'd be like, yeah,
I'm late for my stop.
Yeah, and that but no, everyone was like, "Yeah, yeah, be a good mom, yeah, fuck these kids up."
And then I just wrote down, I think, because what happens next? I just wrote down prostitution. I think it's when Martin Short pulls up to the prostitutes.
Yes.
We have to mention, he plays, is it the vice president?
Yes.
Yeah. Does he play the vice president?
I think so.
He's either the vice president or like the secretary of state or something?
I don't know.
Okay. At this point, we've also met Pierce Brosnan as the head scientist.
Mm-hmm. But I have comments about that later.
And then I wrote, are Martin Short and Pauly Shore the same guy? And then we haven't talked about, because I think at this point we've met Michael J. Fox and Sarah Jessica Parker, haven't we?
I don't think so. I would have. Oh, yeah. No, we have. Yeah, we definitely have. I wrote down, does this movie take place in the 90s?
I think it does. It feels very 90s. It feels very 90s.
I think it takes place in the 70s.
I don't think so. It feels very 90s.
All right. Okay.
I'm telling you, it feels not.
The clothes, the clothes, and the set of their news show or that TV show they were doing, like the clothes they were wearing that everyone was wearing, and the set of that show looked very 70s.
Well, I think it's because it's like that's just the point of the show. It's like a fun like girl talk show. Sarah Jessica Parker,
but it's all like checkers and like
yeah, but that's the only thing in the movie that's like 70s ish.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, the whole thing is like a 50s sci-fi vibe, I guess.
But... Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Don't worry, I know my goddamn Eris. I'll fight you.
All right.
I wasn't getting really mad at you.
So now so everyone goes to they get the message.
Oh yeah. At this point we haven't even heard the Martians talk yet.
Yeah, no.
We see the one and it's like he just has the big brain.
Yep. Yeah, we get the message from the Martian ambassador. Everyone goes to this place in the desert. We got Michael J. Fox and Sarah Jessica Parker.
Oh, yeah, literally everyone. Jack Black signs up to go fight the Martians.
Jack Black, he's in the army. And then the Martians come down.
Oh, I wanted to point out, have you seen Arrival?
No.
All right, well, I noticed this is kind of funny, because the only thing the Martians do in the video that they send down is they just make a circle.
Remember? Yeah.
In Arrival, that's what the aliens do, too, to communicate. They make a circle. I was just thinking, I was like, huh.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
So circle from aliens means death.
I guess so. They also hate birds. Did you notice that? Throughout the whole movie.
We'll get into that in a second.
Okay.
When they see the bird.
Well, that happens throughout the whole movie, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's other times where they see birds and they freak out.
Oh, my God. I only noticed the one time.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so the Martians come down and we see them for the first time. They come out of the ship. All the news people are there. Michael J. Fox is there.
Sarah Jessica Parker.
I like the design of the Martians.
Well, yeah. Well, do you know what Mars Attacks is based on, right?
I mean, it's
comic books and trading cards.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's like a whole set of like trading cards and comic books called Mars Attacks.
So it was a property already?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, that makes sense, yeah.
Yeah. They do have a good design.
I think they'd be much cooler if they had the alien eyes, though, instead of human eyes.
I like the human eyes. It's hilarious.
So, now, I also wrote down that the alien animation is not good.
No, but it makes it more hilarious.
The animation of the spaceships and everything was much better.
When, like, the boardwalk rolls out like a tongue.
Yep.
And they're like, oh, it's like a tongue. And then also we need to point out, at this point, they've built a translator machine, or they think they have.
Yeah!
Yeah. One doctor.
So then we hear them talk for the first time.
Ack, ack, ack.
Yep, that's ack. Exactly what they say. And then everyone just starts dying. Game
well, they
of Thrones
translate,
style.
At first, it, like, they talk and the thing translates to, like, we come in peace. And yeah. Then it's like that hilarious montage where the hippie dude's like, yeah, and he lets the dove go. And then the dove.
Yes!
I just wrote in all caps, the dove.
Well, they're like triggered by the...
Well, I'm trying to think, were they really peaceful until they saw the dove? Or were they just here there to kick ass? I think it'd be more funny, like more hilarious, if they were going to be peaceful until they saw the dove.
Yeah.
Like they just have some weird thing with birds.
Well, I'm thinking there's like a bird planet that maybe like fuck them over one time. Or like, so then they just hate birds.
Or like they thought the bird was like a weapon.
Well, what if, okay, so what if birds like aren't dinosaurs, but they're aliens, right? And they're just like.
Oh, and they've been having some century long.
Yeah.
War.
Yep. And well, then. And they saw that the birds were here first, and they were like, oh,
God
time to fuck
it
up. Yeah.
Fucking birds again. Did, how about, like, Pierce Brosnan's explanation when they're like, oh, so life on Mars, like, I thought we said it couldn't be there. And he's like, oh, we didn't look inside Mars. He's like, they've been living inside Mars flourishing.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, the whole time he's like, there's no way they will be more barbaric than us. They're highly civilized. They're intelligent.
Right, yep. Uh-huh.
And they're the friggin' opposite.
So then we get the general, Paul Winfield, dead. Jack Black, dead. And then...
How about the way he dies? Like, it's classic Jack Black physical comedy where, like, because you can see his head as
yep.
he faces up and he's like... Arr, arr,
yep.
His parents see him die on TV.
And then, so the camera, so Michael J. Fox dies, which is very surprising. He's a big name and he just dies. Like,
well, hey, you know.
In the beginning of the movie. But the camera falls to the ground. And we're watching him die through the lens of the news camera. And I'm thinking, is this camera still rolling? Are people watching him
yeah.
die on
well,
TV?
Well, yeah, because, I mean, the Jack Black's parents see him die.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. It's all being captured.
Damn. I think you'd think they would cut that.
Something that made me laugh every time is when a Martian would die. Just the way that they die, they just get popped in the head. They're like, ah! And they
yeah.
just fall down. And then they kidnap Sarah Jessica Parker and her dog.
Yep, and Pierce Brosnan.
Not yet.
Not yet, okay.
Not yet, not
okay,
till
so they kidnap them.
And then I also wrote, because I think next it cuts to the starship,
the
right?
The starship, yep.
I just wrote naked Martians.
I wrote, they also wear underwear.
Just walk around in red Speedos and shit.
Yeah.
And that's when, all right, I'm really proud of this joke. This is when they experiment on Sarah Jessica Parker, right?
Not yes, they do, yeah.
Yeah, and they yeah. switch her head with the, they
with
put
the
her chihuahua's head on her head.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to this. Sarah Jessica Barker.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're supposed to laugh.
So there's something that comes before that, though. So they I love the prop alien.
Oh, that they're
used.
Experimenting
yeah.
on?
Yeah.
Yeah, that
was such
good.
A good prop
yeah.
alien.
And then
I said, need more of those.
Yeah. But then I love, Bruce Dawson's like, he's like, the only thing I'm alarmed by is their lack of genitalia. Then they crack open their head thing. It's going to be this huge brain. It's just the green goop.
Yeah.
And he's like, my God.
Uh-huh. So
I love Pierce Brosnan.
When they do the weird experiments on Sarah Jessica Parker, yeah. I wrote down Nazis.
A little bit.
Because they're doing Nazi like type experiments on
a little
her.
Bit.
Like the
it's
Nazis.
It's a little
thing.
Darker than I think they meant to go, but I get what you're saying.
I mean, you know, maybe they got inspired. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, they've been probably watching us for a while.
So I wrote down, after that I wrote down, at this point we deserve to die. So I don't know what I saw that made me write that down.
Yeah, well,
I was
yeah,
like,
well,
oh, maybe it was Jack Nicholson's president talk.
I don't think he was that bad of a president. That's what his actually. I think his wife was worse than he was. She was like all snotty, like because it's like, honey, we might have to host the Martian ambassador, and she's like, they're not eating off of the China.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
So then we go back to Jerry.
Who's Jerry?
The guy with the prostitute addiction.
Oh, Martin Short.
Yeah.
And or Pauly Shore.
Yeah, because the Martians, they shapeshift. One of them shapeshifts into a prostitute and stands outside of the White House just waiting to...
Wait, that comes next?
Yeah.
Oh, the yeah. assassination attempt?
Yep.
Yeah.
So she just stands outside the White House knowing that
like,
this guy likes
he's just
prostitutes.
Like, hey. I love the way she walks. She like kind of glides along.
Yep, yeah.
She like shimmies.
So this is when I wrote down, Jerry is a sleazeball.
Oh, yeah.
Because in the beginning, they didn't go... They kind of set it up. They didn't go too deep into it.
He loves the toots.
Yeah. What?
Prostitutes.
Oh, okay. So then at this point, I'm like, he's a sleazeball because he says he says the same line that he said to the girls in the beginning.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh,
he's a dirty boy.
Dirty man. And then he hits a secret button in the
Kennedy room.
Yeah, and I'm like, I wrote down, I like to believe there are hidden buttons.
Oh, there's definitely
all over the place in the White House.
There's definitely hidden buttons.
Yeah. That part was awesome.
They probably don't use them for fun stuff anymore. All right, and then next, next is when he's trying to get it in with the. He thinks it's a prostitute at this point, or not even a prostitute. It's just a random woman
who hasn't said a word to him.
No, and has
he's literally just has, going Amy on the notion.
Amy Winehouse hair.
Yeah, yeah. He's literally just going on the notion
that some random
that she wants this. She hasn't said anything.
And he goes to stick his finger in her mouth and she bites it off. Yep. It looks fucking painful. Just the way he bites. And then there's that great makeup where it's the skin ripped off, but you can see the Martian teeth.
That looks good.
That looks great.
That awesome. That looks
great.
Yeah.
And then she immediately shoots him after that, right?
Yeah, he does.
And she shimmies over to Jack Nicholson in his wife's bedroom. And
yeah.
They have a epic shootout.
Mm-hmm.
And she forgot she has a little camera eyeball on her finger so the Martians can watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. See, I want to see a movie now. After I saw that scene, right when I saw it, I was like, oh, I really want to see a movie about how aliens have already been here and they're just undercover.
There's a couple movies like that.
Tell me.
They Live.
Okay.
And old plot of War of the Worlds is that the aliens were buried underground.
Well, no, I want one that's the aliens are they're like spies.
Yeah, They Live. Watch They Live.
Okay.
Literally,
all right.
It's about.
Okay, cool.
It's great. John Carpenter.
What comes next? Yeah, what happens?
Well, they kill the prostitute, the toot alien.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there's a lot of silly stuff happening. There's that montage of destruction. I don't know if that happens now. I just want to talk about it where you see all this destruction, and then it leads into the stock footage, and then you see it's from a Godzilla movie. It's the aliens watching a Godzilla movie.
Yep.
And then they switch to Dukes of Hazzard. And they're just...
Yeah. That was a good transition, though.
But then also, I think that's the time where they come across the footage of a bird, and they start, freaking out.
Oh, really?
They, start flapping their wings. And then also, the reason the alien prostitute dies in the White House is because she turns, or it's a he alien, I'm assuming, turns to shoot the bird in the cage.
Yeah.
Because she sees the bird and she panics.
Oh, my God.
And she's like,
oh, my God, you're right.
And that's the only reason she dies.
Oh, my God.
I'm telling you, they do not like birds.
Oh, my God. Oh, wow. I can't believe. Wow.
Yeah, bird thing keeps coming up. And at this point, Yeah, because then after that, it leads to the general, the hardcore general really wants him to nuke him.
Yeah.
It's that scene in every movie where he's like, we got to nuke him, President.
I get to that. So I think it bounces back to Sarah Jessica Parker and Pierce Brosnan.
Is the Congress thing happened?
Not yet.
Well, then she's not there yet. He's not on the ship yet.
Well, then I guess it did. I wrote it down.
Yeah, because
it says that I wrote down the talking head scene where they're both.
Oh, yeah, because then preceding that, they invite the Martian ambassador to Congress to give a speech.
Oh, and then he shoots up the place, right?
Yeah, he pulls out they're transcription papers. It looks like a line of condoms or something.
Yeah.
And he's reading it, and then he kills the entire House of Representatives in Congress.
Mm-hmm.
And then they kidnap Pierce Brosnan.
No, it didn't look like condoms. It looked like those little the bubble wrap, like the
oh, kind of
like the
yeah. Bop. Which makes I would love to know what they were saying. Like what they've been saying the whole time.
Yeah.
Well, no, it's because, Jack Nicholson, the reason they come, he sends a message to them apologizing for the desert thing.
Yeah.
And they send a message back, and Pierce Brosnan's like, they've apologized. They want to come talk in Congress.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this whole time, that translator machine just fucking sucks.
What they should have done is put a bird, in the Congress.
Oh, yeah.
So, one just flies in or something.
I don't think it does. But that'd be great if that happened.
Yeah. Like the only reason they go off is because of birds. But yeah. But then I wrote down the talking head scene.
The effect of Pierce Brosnan's head is great.
It is pretty good. But I wrote down that it was giving me live action Scooby-Doo vibes.
Huh.
Like it looked like the Scooby-Doo movie. Oh, yeah, it
looked like Scrappy-Doo.
Yeah, exactly.
Where his head gets all big and he's all buff.
Yep, yeah, exactly. And then I noticed that so many, I wrote this in all caps, so many shots in Vegas start on boobs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Every shot, when it cuts back to Vegas, it's just boobs pan away. I was like, they could have done that once, maybe twice. Yeah. But it's every single time.
Tim was like, okay, you're in Vegas, just get a lot of pickup shots.
Tim Burton's going to love this.
Tim Burton's like, oh, okay, I guess that's what we have to work with.
And then also, this was just by coincidence. So the bomb that we sent them to get nuked.
Oh, yeah.
Just happened to be nitrogen that they eat or inhale.
Well, I don't know if it is. I think it's like, because they inhale it like helium. Like, because we fire a nuke at them eventually, mm-hmm. and they send out like the little like horn with the balloon on it, and they suck up the explosion, and they like breathe it in like helium.
Well, at that time, we know that they
use nitrogen to breathe because the prostitute alien, the reason she could breathe was she was chewing nitrogen.
Yes. But I think the bomb is intended to be nitrogen. I think you're supposed to, because of nitrogen bomb.
Yeah, that's right? True, yeah. But another thing I point out is the war room that, like, the president's in when they're, like, planning their attack. Mm-hmm. It looks exactly like the war room in Doctor Strangelove. Stanley Kubrick movie. Well, yeah, I think that was a purposeful thing. It looks exactly like that, like, with, like, the big light in the middle of the floor. Huh. It's cool. It's a cool set. And then we cut back to Vegas at that point, right? And we get Tom Jones.
Yep.
The singer, the lounge singer. I thought he was Barry Manilow at first. And I wrote down Barry Manilow. And then I was like, no, Tom Jones. Where you get the, it's not unusual. We get that amazing shot of the Martians dancing.
Yeah, yeah. So the long-haired kid, we go back to his story.
Luke Haas.
And he gets in a fight with his family.
Oh, yeah, because they want to fight the Martians. They want to defend the trailer.
And then he just leaves them to die. He just gets in the truck and drives away, and his family immediately dies.
Yeah, they get murdered by the big thing with, like, the lobster pinchers.
Yep.
Well, because he wants to save Grandma.
And that he does want to save Grandma. And that, how did Grandma not come up until now?
Grandma's amazing. She's just crazy. She's calling him the wrong names, and she's, like, her two best friends are, like, Slim Whitman and, like, her stuffed cat.
Yeah. And then, but I wrote down, this is at the time where I realized, like, he's playing the same kid in Independence Day.
Pretty much, yeah. Except for he cares about his family in Independence Day, but...
Well, that's why Independence Day is a better movie.
Oh, yeah. And overall it is, of course.
No, we can compare them just on that fact
alone. Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, Independence Day has Will Smith. I mean...
So does this movie. You didn't see him?
Oh, and then this... Wait, up next is when they break into the war room, right? And they shrink down the general, and I wrote Ant General.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, United States of America, and he's like shooting the two guns.
No, actually, I don't think they're in the war room yet. They break into the old folks' home first. And
they're going to shoot that gigantic freaking, like, gun at Grandma.
Because I wrote down, I knew the Grandma was going to help find the solution, because her music is so fucking awful.
Well, you didn't remember that from when you watched it before?
What do you mean?
Was that the first time you've seen it?
Yeah.
You'd never seen it before?
No.
This
movie is bonkers. I have never seen this movie.
I grew up watching it. Like, no. I remembered as a kid, like, the alien's head's exploding.
No, that's when I saw it now, I was like, this movie's fucking crazy.
But yeah, you haven't seen Mars Attacks, but if you know that the solution to feeding the aliens is playing old yodeling music, Slim Whitman. And I wrote down, I don't know why, but just whenever the Martians would go, their heads would pop. It made me, like, I was, like, belly laughing.
But there was another solution, too. What else did they do? Didn't they...
The birds?
No, it wasn't just the music, right? They like...
No, it was just the music.
Just the music?
Because you notice, like, after that, like, all the army people start playing it.
I thought they also shot them. Yeah.
Well, you can shoot them. I mean, it's just, there's just a lot of them. We forgot to mention with the Byron, the Mr. T impersonator,
mm-hmm.
who he was an Xboxer, we must mention that.
Yes.
His kids, they're visiting the White House, and they grab the Martian guns, and they start...
Oh, that part was awesome!
And they're like, get the president out of here!
Yeah, that part was so cool. So at this point, now, both Jack Nicholsons are dead.
Oh, yeah.
Neither of his personalities
He has that long speech, the president Jack Nicholson does, yep. where he's like, we can make peace. He's like, why?
That's the war room scene.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah. Right after he's killed the general, and then he shakes his hand, and the Martian. I love the close up of the Martian tearing up.
Yeah,
this movie's just so goofy. I love it. I love it. And then he like his hand comes off and impales him.
Yeah,
and he dies in it. The little Martian. Then we see the Martian flag, which is the circle.
Oh, really?
Because the flag comes up and it's the circle, the triangle, and then they all
do
a
circle. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then also the other Jack Nicholson dies in Vegas.
He's given the speech.
Rest in peace. He's trying to pitch his new Galaxy
Hotel. Which looked like a cool hotel. You know?
It had a UFO on it.
And then we get our Vegas crew together.
I read an IMDb fact.
Yeah.
That the explosion in Vegas, like that explosion they did was real.
There's a lot of miniature work in the movie, you can tell. It looks great.
Well, I don't think it was a miniature. Like, they demolished a building.
Maybe, yeah.
I read it. It's on IMDb. I believe it's a solid fact.
If it's on IMDb,
yeah,
it's got to be true. It's on IMDb. But,
okay,
we got to talk about our Vegas crew.
What?
We got Mr. T impersonator.
Yep.
We got alcoholic ex-wife.
Yep.
Ex-wife now because he's dead. Mm-hmm. We have Danny DeVito.
Mm-hmm.
We have random Egyptian dancer, and we have Tom Jones. I don't know why he just makes me laugh. He's just like, "Can any of you fly a plane?" He's like, "I can."
Which brings us to our next point about the guy being a boxer. He kicks the shit out of aliens.
He
beats them.
I love it when the emperor alien takes his like jacket off. Yeah. He's gonna fight him, and they're having the little boxing match.
Yeah,
and I love like his undersuit has the muscles on it with the nipples. Like the Mr. T guy. Did you notice? Because he takes the Egyptian stuff off, and then he's got that black like undershirt. And it's fitted to his abs, and you can see his nipples.
No, I did not. I think
it's like body fitting.
All.
It's great.
Wow.
Yeah, he beats the hell out of those aliens. Yeah,
I was surprised. If there wasn't so many of them, he would have won.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, they overwhelm him at one point.
Yeah.
And then they just start cleaning.
Yeah, then you know,
cleaning up like they send like the plane with the thing to kill, like blaring the music to blow their heads off.
Yep, they kill,
transmit it to space.
They kill all the Martians.
It's just, I don't know, it made me laugh so goddamn much. Just the when they would die, like out of the other side. Grandma.
I know.
Grandma's always saving the day.
So then, this brings us to almost the end here.
Almost the end.
Where he's standing, the long-haired kid from Independence Day.
Lucas.
Is standing.
From Independence Day?
Yeah.
You know, there actually is two actors that are in both movies. They're smaller actors.
Who?
I don't know. I should have probably wrote it down ahead of time. But there's two actors that are in both movies.
Wow.
But
So he's standing in Washington now. With Natalie Portman,
who I'm assuming is president now. Is that how it works?
I don't know, because she's acting. Oh, like, you know what? She might be. You're right.
I don't know. Because all of Congress is dead. All of, like, the Secretary of State.
But she was acting like he's the new president.
Well, I don't know.
She was asking him what to do.
She's passing out the medals of freedom. Like, she gives one to Grandma.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Grandma has the best line. She's like, "Thank you for your services, country." And Grandma's like, "Don't you dare let this happen again."
But so I thought he became president. But I get it. She's the president.
I'm assuming.
That.
Yeah, I'll take young Natalie Portman.
Yeah, that's the president. Okay. Yeah. No, this movie was very progressive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then she makes him give the speech, and he's like, "I'm not really a hero, but."
And then, so he makes the speech, and he mentions. That he kind of, I think he goes off the rails a little bit because he's
talking about teepees.
He mentions that we should all live in teepees because they are better than houses.
He lived in a camper. So and then she's like, he's like, "You don't have to kiss me." And then she's like, "Do you got a girlfriend?"
Who says it now?
Natalie Portman to him. And she kind of, I don't know, did you ever hear the way that she talked in Jackie, like from the trailers? Where she's doing her Jackie Kennedy impersonation.
Yeah.
She sounds like she's doing it there. Like she's like, she's like, "Do you got a girlfriend?" I can't do a Jackie Kennedy.
So you think, so maybe.
She's preparing for the role. She knew.
Wow.
She knew.
So you think all celebrities.
They know.
Have access to time travel.
potentially,
and know what roles they're going to get in the future. So
it's possible.
Yeah, it is definitely possible.
I love Natalie Portman.
Yeah,
she's good. Great. I don't know. Here's a side tangent. Natalie Portman is like the female Keanu Reeves, and that a lot of people give them both crap because they're like, oh, they're not really like in movies. They just kind of seem like they're there. They're kind of like emotionless.
Okay,
but I feel like that's okay. You know, they're just playing very passive characters. Have you ever noticed that they both, when they're in movies, they both kind of have like that blank face?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I can agree with that.
I think Keanu and Natalie Portman there.
Keanu, yes, but Natalie Portman, no.
I'm not saying they're bad actors. I love them.
No, no.
Just people always, you're always giving them crap, you know?
Oh, okay. All right.
But yeah, and then it cuts to the most amazing montage where they land. The plane full of the Vegas crew lands on that rock, and all the animals start coming out.
Yep, yeah.
Like the most random animals.
Which is like a Noah's Ark sort of thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like the deer, and there's like a sheep.
Yeah.
And he's like, Tom Jones is like playing with the animals. And then it starts playing. It's like, it's not unusual, and the animals start dancing. Did you notice that?
Yeah, I didn't understand that part one bit. I love it. That part was weird.
And then you want to talk about the final shot?
The final shot was that the fighter lives.
Yeah, he's walking.
He lives.
And like, I was like, yes! Still yelling at the kids, and he's walking into like,
I know, that made me so happy.
And the final thing you see is the dump truck with just the pile of dead Martian bodies go by.
I didn't see that.
Yeah. It's just pile of dead Martian bodies.
I mean, that would have been cool, but.
Yeah.
I'm so happy the fighter lived, though.
Yeah, it just closes amazing. With not yeah. unusual.
I know. It was fun though. I mean,
I miss that Tim Burton. Like, I feel like
I do not.
I haven't seen his most. Well, what when you think of Tim Burton, what's your favorite Tim Burton movie?
No, I think Tim Burton is like the level of professionalism that Tim Burton has was not shown off in this. This was like this movie.
I think so.
This movie to me was like Tim Burton was like, let's just do this for fun. Like, let's not give a shit.
But it's so well made for, like, a fun, goofy movie.
No, top Tim Burton is, like, is Beetlejuice Batman or Edward Scissorhands. Yeah, yeah. Like, maybe.
I think this fits in as, like, one of his, like, fun, just, like.
Okay, let me get the budget for this.
Budget.
Because that's probably good to know. Because probably Edward Scissorhands and Batman and all that had a much bigger budget.
I don't know. This was a pretty expensive movie.
We're about to find out.
There's still a lot of Tim Burton's movies I need to see. But
all right. So the budget is an estimated $70 million.
Yeah, that's pretty big back then. That's a lot.
Yeah.
You have to adjust for inflation.
Yeah. Opening weekend.
I don't think it made a lot of money.
In the U.S., it was only $9 million.
Yeah, it didn't make a lot of money because people wanted to see Independence Day.
I think this recently just became profitable. Maybe.
I think they should definitely make a new Mars Attacks movie.
Because its total gross worldwide right now is 101. So that's only $30
million above. You know, they probably weren't mad. I mean, he pretty much had a blank check to make whatever movie he wanted for like 20 years, so
yeah, okay.
Obviously it wasn't a big failure for him.
Oh, Edward Scissorhands in 1990.
Oh, he made that before?
So 6 years before.
Damn.
Had a budget of $20 million.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I think when Batman, the first Batman came out, that was actually the most one of the most expensive movies ever made.
I'm looking at it right now. $35 million.
Oh. At the time, back that's then. A lot, yeah.
Well, that was
I
in...
I miss, like... I mean, I know he's... I mean, he made a movie last year I didn't see that looked kind of fun, but, like, I kind of miss, like...
Ooh, Batman Returns. Oh, wait, yeah, Batman Returns? Is that what the other one's called?
Yeah.
$80 million.
Yeah, see?
Yeah.
But, I don't know, like, I feel like he went through that phase where he was just making dumb movies, like... Although, I don't mind his Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, but... He was just doing stuff like that and like Alice in Wonderland. I miss 90s Tim Burton where he's like,
well, I think
Beetlejuice and like Batman Returns and
I think that
and Mars Attacks, Ed Wood. Like it feels like more like, I don't know. Like he has more of his like heart and soul into it, whereas like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory and Alice in Wonderland, it just kind of feels like he's like, oh, okay, yeah.
Well, I think a lot of it comes down to the technology of the time. and I think in the early 2000s, and even now, I think the filmmakers are a little bit detached from their work because they don't see it completed until the animators are done. It
depends on the filmmaker.
Yeah, you're so inspired by like that
stuff on set and stuff.
Well, that, but you're so inspired by like, oh, like this new animation, we got to use it, we got to get ahead of it, and all that stuff. So
it also depends. Like, yeah, some filmmakers, they probably won't admit it, but some of them actually like enjoy putting the time in, like being with the VFX artists, and some don't.
Yeah,
like some of them, it's probably more of like, oh yeah, I trust you guys to get this right. Whereas like guys like Spielberg and James Cameron, they're in the room with the VFX guys, and they're like, okay.
Yeah, that's,
you know, just like true. That thing came up with Justice League because people were complaining like, wow, the VFX team really sucked. They made the villain look bad. And they're like, and all these other directors were like, no, you know, if the VFX look really bad, it's because the director didn't take the time to sit with them and help them perfect it.
Oh, that sucks.
But I'm just, it's just the whole idea comes like, because people are like, oh, this movie looks, the effects in this movie look awful.
It's almost like I think the like the VFX, I mean, when you're making a movie, you're doing everything at the same time. You're editing the movie while you're shooting it. You're making the props while you're shooting it.
Think some filmmakers, they won't admit it, but some of them don't, like, I don't, maybe they're just too stressed, but they don't, like, there's guys like Christopher Nolan who, like, he has no second unit. Like, he shoots everything.
Yeah.
And then there's other guys where it's probably like, yeah, just, we'll send a crew off to, like,
Australia. Egypt. Yeah, we need that Australia shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it all depends. But I think Tim Burton was, like, in, like, the 1990s and early 2000s, he was one of those very hands-on filmmakers. Like, you could see a movie like, this is a Tim Burton movie.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, his... Then,
well,
like,
if there's one thing he's good at, it's atmosphere.
Yeah.
He brings the Tim Burton atmosphere.
It's kind of like
eerie.
A gothic whimsy.
Yeah.
Which I've heard, like, his movie that came out last year, that Mrs. Pettigrew's movie, it kind of feels like a return to that. So I just hope he doesn't make Beetlejuice 2. There's no reason for that.
No, there's not.
And I hope he doesn't work with Johnny Depp again.
What?
Johnny Depp's a butthole now.
Oh, he did the Peculiar Children.
Yeah, he did that last year.
I didn't know he did that one.
Yeah, it looked good. I need to see it still.
Now, Big Eyes.
I heard Big Eyes was good. That's more of like a drama, but it's kind of like a...
Big Eyes is a really good movie. He blew the atmosphere, though. It doesn't feel like a Tim Burton movie. It just feels like a regular movie.
Well, yeah, because I think it seems like it's one of the very few movies he's done where it's like, it's not in like his like world of like magical realism where it's like set in the real world. There's just kind of like...
Yeah. It was real. It's like, you know, it's autobiographical. So yeah. It didn't have his touch. It was just really well,
you know,
made.
If Warner Brothers were smart, they would just... You know, let's just scrap the entire, like, DC universe they have going now. Wait 5 years. We'll keep making Wonder Woman movies. Those are pretty cool.
Bring him back for Batman again?
Just bring back old Michael Keaton.
Oh, wow.
Well, you know, originally...
Well, Batman, like, The Dark Knight Returns or something.
Well, Compton like that. Well, I said Compton. But well, originally he was gonna direct Batman Forever, the third one, and it was gonna have Marlon or Damon Wayans as Robin.
Ooh.
And Billy Dee Williams.
Ooh.
Since he played
he
was gonna
be
Two Face.
Wasn't he the mayor?
No, he was for Harvey Dent. So he was gonna be Two Face.
Yeah.
And that's why he's actually voices Two Face in Lego Batman, which is kind of cool.
Oh, that is cool.
And that would have been so cool. Although I like Batman Forever, it's not bad.
I haven't seen Big Fish.
Oh, Big Fish is good, actually, and that's...
Oh, you know what?
Big Fish is actually really good.
Oh, you can really see where he took a turn.
When he starts doing, like, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
So, right after 99... Oh, turn of the millennium, too.
What? What's...
So right after 99...
Yeah.
He goes right into Planet of the Apes, Big
Ooh.
Fish, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Well, Big Fish is good.
Okay. And yeah, it's like new Tim Burton. He like changed his
I feel like his career is very similar to Peter Jackson's in that they both started out with like the small like handmade, like he started out with like Pee-wee's Playhouse, Beetlejuice, and like Peter Jackson started out with like Heavenly Creatures and Dead Alive, and then they started to get these big budget breaks and they were making it work. Like the Lord of the Rings movies are awesome. King Kong is awesome for Peter Jackson. Then Tim Burton, he made like like the Batman movies work, but then they kind of like lost their way.
Oh, look how crazy this is. He made, you know, that Frankenweenie animated movie. He made a Frankenweenie short in 84.
And then he made a feature-length movie in 2012.
Yeah.
Actually, I need to see that. People tell me that's actually... His animated... Because he also made Corpse Bride, didn't he?
Yep.
Yeah, his animated...
Corpse Bride is so good.
That's what... No, that's what he should do to make a comeback. He should make another animated movie. And then he should pick, like, another, like, full-out movie.
But he's not just good at the animation, though. It's, like, claymation.
Yeah, it's, like, handmade. It's, like, Leica type stuff.
Yeah,
like,
Wasn't that the controversy with Nightmare Before Christmas? Like, there was the director, because he gets all of the money from that.
Well, he gets, everyone thinks it's a Tim Burton movie, but it's a Henry Selick movie.
Right, yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Want to hear something crazy?
Because his name is on it, like, his name is the above the line.
I haven't seen Nightmare Before Christmas in, like, since I was, like, five.
Oh, I haven't either.
I really want to watch it, yeah.
Yeah, we should watch it.
It's a good movie.
Should we pick the movie for next time, though?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
We'll do it live.
So, the way we're going to do this is we're basically just going to ask Siri to randomly pick someone out of the people.
We have a list of numbers, 1 through 10.
Yeah.
Like cast members from Mars Attacks.
So all the notable talent that I read in the beginning is who Siri's going to pick from.
And then...
Yeah.
I think whatever one she picks, we'll just go to their IMDb page and we'll wrestle it out right here and now which one of their movies we're going to do.
Why don't we just ask Siri so it's random?
Like, just ask Siri, like, pick me a George Lopez movie?
No, just use their top four. Like,
what do you mean? Their top four on their IMDb page. Yeah. Well, that kind of takes away, like, the chance we might get, like, an obscure one, though.
Okay.
Could we just say, like, Siri,
pick me,
like,
this movie?
Pick me a year. Do you think she could do that?
It might be a weird year, though. Like, she might pick, like, 1807, and we're like, oh, shit. We'll see what she says. Okay.
Yeah, we could try, like, it could be funny. We could be like, Siri, what's your favorite George Lopez movie?
Oh, yeah, let's see if that works.
Yeah, but let's do the number thing first. Okay.
Hey, Siri. Pick a number 1 through 10.
Random number between 1 and 10 is 2.
Oh, shit. Who is it?
We got...
Come on.
We got Paul Winfield, who played the general.
Yeah, someone I don't even really know, but it'll be... I guess it makes it cooler because he's more obscure.
Hey, Siri.
Hold on, let me pull up Paul Winfield.
What's your favorite Paul...
Who would you like to call?
God damn it. Hey, Siri. What's your favorite Paul Winfield movie?
I don't watch a lot of movies. Ross.
All right.
Oh, just hey,
give me a Paul Winfield movie. Oh, she didn't realize what I said.
I'm not finding anything for that.
This is a terrible idea.
Yeah, it's not working out very well.
Give me a Paul Winfield movie.
Here are some Paul Winfield movies.
There we go.
What's the first one?
The Terminator.
Do you want to do Terminator?
We got The Terminator, Presumed Innocent, The Serpent and the Rainbow.
Ooh, I've heard that's good.
Wait, was this guy in all these movies?
Yeah.
Look this up.
Yeah, he was. Paul Winfield.
Wow.
Do you want to know what movie I think we should do that he was in?
What?
Can we do Cliffhanger?
Cliffhanger?
Look up Cliffhanger.
Okay.
It's a 90s Sylvester Stallone action movie about climbing mountains.
Ooh. Hanger.
Also came out the year I was born, so a movie you were born. Yeah. And it's kind of snowy Christmas time.
Yeah.
You might have to pay to rent it, but...
I don't care.
I've heard it's good. Like, it's a fun action movie.
Who does Paul... He plays Walter Wright.
Almost Walter White.
Yeah.
He's got John Lithgow, Michael Rooker,
mm-hmm.
Sylvester Stallone.
Okay.
Are we doing Cliffhanger?
The Cliffhanger, 1993. Yes. Okay. That's what we're doing for next time.
I was trying to do a Sylvester Stallone. Hold on. Yo, Adrian.
I've been trying to work on my Matthew McConaughey. A micro impression.
Drive an Audi.
Well, no, it's a Lincoln. He goes, I'm trying to get his pitch right. So he goes like, it's not, he enunciates all of his words too. That's kind of the difference between him and like another Southern person, because he's like Southern.
It's like a tinge of Southern,
but he enunciates everything. So yeah. he's like, it's not about no, it's too low. He goes, it's not about the car you're driving.
That's not bad.
It's about the power behind it,
Marv.
Hey, Marv.
How's your ghost, Marv?
that was a terrible.
The only impression I can do is Don Corleone, which I watched most of The Godfather on Thanksgiving too. AMC was doing a Godfather marathon on Thanksgiving, but
okay, the cliffhanger. That's what we're doing next time.
Next week we're gonna do cliffhanger. You come to my daughter's wedding. You tell me to watch Cliffhanger, the Sylvester Stallone vehicle from 1993.
No. Next week. Oh shit, that wasn't good. Next week. It's not. It's not about the car you're driving. Cause next week we're doing cliffhanger.
It's about the cliff you're hanging.
I can only do the impression if I started off as a Lincoln commercial.
Pretend you're driving before you do it. Any other Mars Attacks thoughts?
Oh, I don't know. It just really makes me... This movie and Independence Day are a good double feature.
That would be. Yeah, that would be a great double feature. I wish they'd make Mars Attacks Resurgence.
Yeah.
They should make a Mars Attacks sequel and, like, bring back Natalie Portman, Luke Haas. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Oh, well. She could play Jackie Kennedy.
You can follow me on Twitter, @RossOaks. I'll put the link in the bottom. Where can they get you at? What do you want? Instagram, Twitter? What do you want?
Yeah, I've got a couple. My MySpace is
www.myspace.com/
JeremyW12354.
That's not real.
Yeah, it is. my Twitter.
Wait,
is,
let's look up what MySpace is actually now, because I don't.
It's
think...
it's just like a band thing now, but you can look it up. Oh yeah, at Jeremy Wayne Rye. My name is Jeremy Wayne Wright, but it's Jeremy Wayne Wright without the T. You'll see it in the show notes if you really want to follow me.
Wait, yeah. This is weird.
What's that?
This doesn't feel right.
What?
It's a bunch of like...
It's just bands and brands, isn't
no,
it?
No, it's a bunch of news stories.
I can't remember my MySpace login.
Well, I think they scratched that, right?
No, you can still find profiles.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, God, I gotta get rid of that immediately.
No, you know, we got some dirt on there. Remember, you used to put up skateboarding videos.
Yeah, because I did that.
In your basement.
Yeah. No, it's a bunch of, it's
which
a
is
bunch
in
of
Philadelphia,
like,
Pennsylvania.
It kind of reminds me of Yahoo, but like Yahoo's shitty. So.
Tom sold it.
Yeah. MySpace to Justin Timberlake.
Really? Oh, I didn't know. Come on.
Oh, profiles. Okay. Profiles. Here we go. I'm looking myself up. Maybe I should look you up instead. It says sign in with Facebook. How funny is that?
Oh, Mark, you got your fingers and everything.
No, it didn't. It didn't find me. Oh, that's weird. Okay, well, I'm.
You gonna next week? Well, we're gonna hang some cliffs.
Not next week. Well, next week is the
another week is another open episode. Yeah, where we'll.
The week after we do cliffhanger. Yeah. So episode 4 is going to be cliffhanger.
We'll hang some cliffs.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.